The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they may also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, to have been a fly on the wall that night, there's Jesus in the upper room on the night he was betrayed. He's instituted the Lord's Supper, washed the disciples' feet, preached that beautiful sermon about the vine and the branches, and now he's praying to the Father. And what a prayer it is. I've done it, Jesus says to the Father. Done what? Answer, made your name known. Whose name? Answer, God. More specifically, God's proper name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The one true God, the God who created all, the God who was there at Jesus' baptism. Remember? God the Son came up out of the water, and God the Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove, as God the Father spoke from heaven, saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of this God is the word Jesus gave. Jesus wasn't some nutball, you know, freelancing out there, spewing all kinds of weirdness that he just made up. God knows we have enough of that in our world already. People are forever making stuff up and claiming it's a word from God. And their drivel usually begins with something like this. The Lord just laid on my heart to say to you, from them run. Not so for Jesus. The word Jesus spoke was the word of God. All three persons of the Trinity were in on it. All three persons were saying the same thing. That's why it's the word of God. Now, that's important. It's important because that word Jesus is praying about is the most important word ever spoken. It's a matter of death and life, literally. First, it's a deadly word. It's a deadly word for sinners. Jesus' word gives all power and might to God alone. Just so, his word takes away all power and control from us. Just last week, we heard Jesus say, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." And if you want to know what God's uncontrollable power looks like, Judas is your clue. Lost he was, because God predestined him to be lost, and the only reason given? So that the scripture might be fulfilled. Nevertheless, Judas was still responsible for his betrayal. Luther calls this the repugnant thought. God wills it, but people are still responsible. And you will search in vain for an explanation or an apology from God about his treatment of Judas or any other person for that matter. Indeed, God in his unfettered majesty is an absolute terror. The Apostle Paul helps us here by telling us that God has an image problem. In fact, God is unjustifiable apart from God's second word, that is, the word of good news, the gospel. That you may be justified in your word of gospel when you are judged apart from your word of gospel is how Paul says it. Said another way, the only way to know for certain that God is good, loving, and merciful is the gospel promise. The gospel is the word of mercy and forgiveness that makes all things new. The gospel is the word that saves and protects from sin, death, and the devil. The gospel is the word that brings hope, comfort, and joy in the midst of suffering, in the midst of enduring the world's hatred, in the midst of the evil one raging like a roaring lion, seeking to devour all of God's creation. This word of gospel makes the ungodly godly. Like I said, the gospel is the most important word in heaven above and on earth below. And so, it is vital to know from whom this word of gospel promise is coming. It is vital to know that the one giving this word can deliver, lest everything be lost from those trusting this word, which brings us back to what Jesus said, I have made your name known. Let there be no doubt then that the gospel word is from God Almighty, who can deliver on his promise. And because the gospel is from the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, it is absolutely trustworthy because God does not lie. Well, that leaves just one thing left to do, and that is to move you from being a fly on the wall overhearing Jesus' prayer to being the one to whom Jesus made God's word known. So listen up. I'm not here for my health. I've been sent here by Christ. And by the authority of Jesus Christ, I forgive you the entirety of your sin. The mercy of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is yours. And you will never be lost. Keep this word. That is, listen to this word. It's for you. Amen.